These are my top three heels in movies. Now that I'm a babyface, I feel like I'm qualified to talk about the dynamics and the essence of being a heel. What bothers me about modern movies is that we've seemed to move on from the true villain onto the anti-hero, which is a term that is often really used incorrectly. But even when we talk about villains, every movie that I watch now is always trying to make them sympathetic, or there has to be some layer of understanding. There's always, you know, I mean, how many villain origin stories have we sat through to explain why these people are the way they are? And I don't know, it bothers me, because then they lose their impact to me. You have to, oh, you want to have that understanding. Why is this person so fucked up? Oh, that's why I feel so bad for them. Then they become less of a true obstacle for the hero. And to me, that ruins the fun of movies I enjoyed when they were really only there to be an obstacle and an asshole. You didn't need to know their backstory, because ultimately you didn't give a shit about their backstory, because they were an asshole. This was their job. They were a heel. That's it. They're going to stop the hero from doing what he needs to do. And that's why a movie exists. I don't need to know how they grew up. I don't need to know the horrible, traumatic things that happened to them. I got to feel bad for them too. I have enough trouble feeling sympathy for the good guys. I have to feel sympathy for the villain. This is ridiculous. So anyway, in the essence of what I deem to be a true movie heel, someone who shows up to upset the good guy apple cart, these are my three picks. Number one is from Jesus Christ Superstar, the original 1973 film. It's directed by Norman Jewison, and there's a lot of it's the rock opera story of Christ. And as you all know, Christ had a lot of obstacles in his way, and many people think, you know, Judas certainly was not, a lot of people were not nice to him. But the one that really sticks out in my head for me is the character of King Herod, who is played by Josh Mostel. And if you don't know who Josh Mostel is, Josh Mostel often appeared, probably known best for appearing in Adam Sandler movies. He was the school principal who was also a wrestler as the masked hideous blob in Billy Madison. And he was also, I think, the child services administrator in Big Daddy. Josh Mostel is also Zero Mostel's son. And now if I have to explain who Zero Mostel is, he was in The Producers, and of course Fiddler on the Roof. I feel like we'll be here all day. But in Jesus Christ Superstar, he plays King Herod, and he does a masterful job, and he is the essence of absolute passive-aggressive smugness. He has really only this one song and this one scene where Jesus is basically presented to him, and Herod's like, you know, what's your deal? Everybody's saying your magic. Show me your magic, and then I'll let you go. Jesus, of course, refuses. But this song, this performance, the song is known as King Herod's Song, which is quite blunt. It's so beautifully done because, first of all, it's a rock opera. There's a lot of psychedelic kind of rock business in there. This song is a straight up fucking ragtime song. So even on the album, it's incongruent and a little annoying. And that's what makes it so good, number one. Number two, Josh, who was obviously much, much, much younger here. I had never saw him so young in the longest time. And he does look like a true young king who has stumbled on this power and has all these riches, and he can afford to be fat. You know, in the bed when it was a sign of wealth and doing well and royalty and whatever, because everyone else in the movie is certainly a lot smaller. He seems to be larger, you know, due to excess, which is fantastic. And he's so smug and he's so antagonistic, and he brings Jesus before him. First of all, to taunt Jesus is a hell of a role. And he's so smug and really says, like, you know, dance, monkey. If this is, they say you do all these crazy things, do them for me. And, you know, instead of yelling at him as a king would, a lot of times when I see this play done now they try to be sexy and cool with this, and Josh Mostel is not that at all. He's incredibly passive aggressive. He's lazy on purpose, and the way he sings a song is so airy and so carefree, as if he knows he's just going to sentence Jesus to die anyway and all this doesn't matter, which makes it fantastic. And the dance number in the middle of the song is so purposely like lazy and passive aggressive. It's like the he's doing the bare minimum of movements, and I love it. And obviously, if it bothers Jesus, it's going to bother a lot of other people too. And of course, you know, he's there to almost get under Jesus's skin and really test his patience, and is trying to get Jesus to snap. Jesus, of course, being Jesus, is not going to do it. Fine, whatever. But Josh Mostel, as King Herod, does a fantastic job. And I have that song on so many playlists. I love it so much. It's such an asshole song. That is my number one. My number two is from a movie directed by, I believe, John Landis. And it is called The Three Amigos. And if you know anything about The Three Amigos, one of my favorite films, watched it so much as a kid. And the more I watch it, the more I find it funny and wonderful about it, to the point where now I'm just laughing through the whole movie. And the older I get, the more I watch it, and the more the main villain pops out at me, as it's a wonderful job. The actor's name is Alfonso Arau, A-R-A-U, a noted Mexican actor, filmmaker, and singer from back in the day. And he plays the character of El Guapo. El Guapo has a compound, and he's got these men, this gang, and he enjoys terrorizing and taking over small Mexican villages. And, you know, getting people to do his bidding, burning the towns, robbing them, pillaging, the whole deal. And this is the thing, and I think about El Guapo, I think about him a lot. I really, really do. Because this is a comedy movie, and, you know, it's got Chevy Chase, Martin Short, Steve Martin, and Randy Newman did the music. That's a story for another day. It's so easy to get carried away with the comedy and try to make El Guapo completely funny. It's very tempting, because a lot of things in this movie are ridiculous. Very funny, very ridiculous. Very tempting to do that with a villain the way modern comedies do. However, The Three Amigos, their ultimate ineptitude, which they end up having to overcome, really only exists in the face of credible adversity. So to make El Guapo, you know, not a threat, make him bumbling and make him not that dangerous, would be to ruin the arc of The Three Amigos. So they don't do that here. It's a very difficult thing. The El Guapo character is really dangerous. You completely buy him, you believe him, and it just looks like the Three Amigos are really from out of town, and they've plopped into, you know, this horrible, horrible situation because of El Guapo. He is an absolute madman. He has a streak of violence, and you totally buy it. Having said that, and I just say you don't want it to be too much of a comedy, it is still a comedy. So they have to show some glimpses of humor. And El Guapo manages to do that. The closer you get to him, we never really get too close, you realize he's just, you know, he's violent, he's controlling, he's evil, but he's also an idiot. And one of my favorite lines is this woman is talking to Carmen, the woman that El Guapo tries to take for himself. And she says, Carmen, do you know what foreplay is? And she said, no. And she said, good, neither does El Guapo. And there's those little glimpses, these little moments. There's another moment when he gets a sweater for his birthday. He's insecure about his age. He's telling everyone he's turning 30 when he's turning 40. And he's so excited to see a sweater. That is another example of it. And even in his death, when the amigos finally figure out how to trick him, he calls, I believe, Chevy Chase over, and he's lying there. He's been shot. He's dying. He says, I have something to tell you. Come closer. Chevy Chase comes closer and El Guapo shoots him in the foot and laughs and says, that was a good trick too. And you just realize he's this crazed madman who really enjoyed all the violence that he did. And that's pretty much it. You don't need to know where he comes from. He's just a tormenting individual. But it's a wonderful balance of how to be funny, how to be interesting, how to be entertaining, but also how to be absolutely terrifying for the sake of the story and for the sake of the hero. So that is my number two. My number one, Josh Mostel as King Herod. Number two, Alfonso Arau as El Guapo. And then I'm thinking, do I just hate these evil, torturous men? Is that just my definition of a heel? Because I'm like, that's pretty boring. There has to be somebody else who puts a spin on it and kind of still fits the bill, but in a completely different way. And I was thinking about it and going through movies that I like, and it suddenly dawned on me that my final heel, number three, is Anne Ramsey, who plays Mama or Mrs. Lift from Throw Mama from the Train. This is Anne Ramsey spelt R-A-M-S-E-Y. Anne Ramsey spelt R-A-M-S-A-Y is the one from Mad About You. I think it's Helen Hunt's sister or something. It's not her. This Anne Ramsey was also Mama Fratelli in The Goonies, another evil mother character, which is very weird. Anne Ramsey, first of all, may I say, maybe never quite gets her due. She's a tremendous character actress for so long. She's also in The Shelter, in Scrooged, I think. She has that weird speaking pattern, that weird voice, because she got, I believe, part of her tongue and her jaw removed because she had, I believe it was a throat cancer. She had to go through multiple surgeries and treatments while she was filming Throw Mama on the Train, and she was in Throw Mama from the Train. Don't throw her on the train. You have to throw her from it because they're on it. She was apparently in a tremendous amount of pain while shooting and was a real trooper. This is what I love about this character, is that, according to my research, she has no first name. I mean, she does, but it's just Mrs. Lift or Mama. That's it. And she's really there to just... I mean, the movie, I guess, really is about Billy Crystal and his ex-wife and the things that set that off in motion. But Mrs. Lift is really there to torment her son, Danny DeVito, and essentially ruins his life. He's middle-aged, and she keeps him very, very sheltered. And she's certainly mean, controlling, paranoid. She always thinks they're coming to take her away or somebody's trying to kill her. And very particular. Likes a certain almond or peanut or something. Has very particular tastes, but is very much an old crooked woman in an old crooked house. And she's there to just make you buy that Danny DeVito was so annoyed and so sheltered that he would be crazy enough to kill Billy Crystal's ex-wife just to get out of the situation. And that, because that's crazy, that sets everything in, you know, that sets Billy's life in a tizzy. And then she continues to be so overbearing and has no real redeemable qualities, to the point where Billy Crystal goes, okay, I'm going to kill this woman. Fair enough. I'm in this crazy situation, but now this woman must die. And then he really does, and they both do. They try to kill her. And you don't feel like they're evil for doing it. She's such a miserable person that, not that you go, good, yay. You just go, yeah, that makes sense. I would kill her too. So she has to be like, you know, relatably annoying, where you're like, I understand what these two men are going through, and I'm not going to hold it against them that they're killing her. She was so phenomenal in this that she was nominated for a fucking Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress when the film didn't even get that good of reviews, to be honest with you. It's, I mean, now it's beloved, but it's not like this classic. It's not like this giant Hitchcock film and everybody loves everything. Her performance was really the standout performance. She's getting nominated for an Oscar Best Supporting Actress in 1987, which is like really the waning days of comedy films winning any kind of fucking award, to be honest with you. Especially this broad of a comedy, for her to be nominated. And then, of course, she won a Saturn Award. And then she was also nominated for a Golden Globe for this. That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible and outstanding that she could be this unlikable with every fiber of her being, where you don't hold it against Danny DeVito and Billy Crystal, who barely knows her. And my favorite scene is when Billy Crystal finally finds Mrs. Lift sleeping, or just lying there with her eyes open, and comes to her and says, "Mrs. Lift, your son is trying to kill you. I'm telling you, I'm trying to save your life." And it turns out that Mrs. Lift is sleeping with her eyes open. And that was the one moment of vulnerability that could have turned this whole thing around, but she was sleeping. Because that vulnerability, they do not want it to exist. And that's why this character is wonderful and is a true heel. So those are my top three heels in movies. Josh Mostel as King Herod in Jesus Christ Superstar. Alfonso Arau as El Guapo in The Three Amigos. And Anne Ramsey as Mrs. Lift slash Mama in Throw Mama from the Train. Those are my top three heels in movies. But what do I know? I'm just a baby face. This has been more content with RJ City.